If you have your Bibles, we are going to finish what we started, Psalm 103 is loaded with some just amazing truths about our God and His great salvation, and I wanted to finish that. To get into the text, though, I want to remind us of what we are calling the disciples' pathway. A disciples' pathway is what you follow on the path to discipleship. And the disciples' pathway is important because it gives you an opportunity to see where you are in that journey. And when we have a disciples' pathway in place for us to understand that our role as a church, we've agreed on, is to what? To make disciples. That's why Jesus left a church on earth, is that we would make disciples. So whether we're doing that abroad in international countries, whether we're doing that in our home state of Tennessee in the United States, helping church planters right here in our own Blount County community, that's our role, is making disciples. And so one of the things I said to you this morning was this idea of forgetting, really kind of dwelling on that a little bit more tonight. And I approach that from a negative standpoint. I want to approach it tonight as we get started from a positive standpoint. So when you think about what can I do as a disciple so that I don't forget, so that I don't have that tendency, so that I don't go into that zone of forgetfulness. Remember, we defined it as forgetting is the sinful tendency to fail to remember and celebrate God's goodness to us. So the first step on that disciples' pathway is connecting up through worship. And I would say to you that one of the most helpful things that you can do as a disciple is to connect up with God in worship every week. That's critically important. In other words, what are we doing in worship? Most of the time we're remembering, right? We're remembering the Lord. We're remembering His work. I mean, you just think about what we sang about tonight and where did it take us? It took us to the cross, right? So being in corporate worship is critically important to not forgetting who we are and whose we are. So that would be the first place to begin, and to absent yourself consistently from corporate worship invites all kinds of forgetfulness, all kinds of not remembering. And so that I think is critically important. There's just something about being in the presence of the Lord in worship together, about hearing God's word proclaimed, that God would use His word through the Holy Spirit to stir up affections for you, that you would cherish what Christ has done and who Christ is, and you would want more of Him, not less of Him, in your life. And so worship can and does do that. But beyond that, the second stop on the disciples' pathway is connecting through community. What was a community designed to do? A community was designed to come alongside you and remind you of God's goodness. How many of you over your life have had people around you, your community around you, who've encouraged you, who've strengthened you, who've prayed for you, who've reminded you in maybe some of your harder, darker moments that God is in control, that God's going to see you through this? And so Christianity was not built and designed to live in isolation from one another. And really, the growth of the church will come from people not who come into corporate worship and leave, but people who come to corporate worship and get connected in community. And that community can take many different forms. But if you were asking me, Pastor, how can I keep myself from forgetting these glorious truths that he warns us and charges us, forget not all his benefits or his graces? And I would say, one, you need to be in worship. You need to be in the corporate worship with the body of Christ, not just personal worship, which is important, and I think that's leading into corporate worship, but worship. Then connecting in community, being a part of the fellowship. You know, one of the things that happens in community is there's trust and there's vulnerability and there's ministry and there's all kinds of opportunities there to remind each other. It's fabulous to go into a Sunday school class and to hear someone testify of just how good the Lord has been this week. Or what God has done, you know. That's the richness. And there could be a person sitting in that group who had a rough week, a discouraging week, and they hear you speak, and man, they just light up like, yeah, that's right, she's right. God is in control. God is working all things out for his glory and our good. Well, the third pathway, connecting deeper through discipleship. These discipleship groups that we have had going now for almost a year, are really important in terms of the depth, the roots that we put down. We've got groups meeting during the week. We got groups meeting on the weekends. We've got groups meeting in different contexts and different places. And those groups, just to remind you, are basically three or four men or three or four women who get together on a regular basis to go deeper into God's Word, deeper than maybe what you can do on a Sunday morning. And the reason that those formats work well is because it causes us to dig ourselves into the Scripture, not just sit and listen to a teacher, but you yourself become a student of the Word. You yourself are under the Word and its influence as you as a group discuss it and apply it and pray through it on a weekly basis. And so that D group would be critical to remembering the benefits or the graces of the Lord. Those groups get tight, meaning they really do love each other. They have each other's backs. They really fuss if they can't meet because they like to meet. They want to meet. They become a really close group. And so the D group. The last one on the screen is when we connect out in mission. I don't know of anyone who participates on a consistent, regular basis in outreach and mission who doesn't cherish and appreciate the goodness and the grace of God. Folks, there's something about giving back, right? Taking in, but man, I need to let this out. I need to have an outlet. I need to have a ministry. I need to have a place where I can contribute back what God has poured into me. That's missions. That's outreach. That's evangelism. That's the Great Commission. And so right here among us, and then you go to other places around the world and you really see how the other world is living without Christ, without God, and in darkness. You see it all the time. And so those are positive ways, you know. If you find yourself forgetful of the graces and the mercies of God, get involved in missions. Get plugged in serving somewhere, giving back. Get involved in a D group. Get involved in a community group and worship. Worship, worship, worship. Because worship, I think, is what we're all going to do for eternity. So let's look at verse 6. That's where we stopped. We talked about the goodness of God in verse 5, reviving the soul. And then he says this, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. I think this is a turn in the psalm. I think it's a turn towards the Exodus that we've been studying. And in this moment, he decides to make a reference to Moses. He made known his ways to Moses. So David, authoring the psalm, is going to use Moses as an illustration or as an example of how God works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. And again, he's talking about the Exodus, he's talking about Egypt, he's talking about the bondage, the oppression there, but God making his ways known to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. What is he doing in Israel? He's redeeming. He's bringing them up out of Egypt. He is leading them into the promise of his salvation, the promise of people, the promise of land, and the promise of blessing that we've been tracking through here. So he made his ways, made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. And what did they learn about God? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Now, if you woke up tomorrow morning and you were reading your Bible as a devotional and you got to verse number 8, I hope you would stop. And I hope you would bow your head. And I hope you would say, God be praised for your mercy. God be praised for your grace. God, I'm so thankful that you are slow to anger, because there's so many times in my life where I just feel like I am pushing, and yet you're slow to anger. You are abounding in steadfast love. And just camp there. Just worship there, reciting to us who God is, being in his word. This is how we avoid forgetting the graces of God. We remind ourselves of God's mercy and God's grace, his character. He will not always chide. And he's beginning here to talk about God in his interaction with his people, especially the fatherhood of God with the children of God. So he will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. And that's a prophetic statement looking forward to the cross. Okay? God stored up his righteous indignation and wrath against sin in order to pour it out on Christ at the cross. Because if we experienced his anger, we would be obliterated. Right? Justly. But verse 10 says, he does not deal with us according to our sins. What would happen if he dealt with us according to our sins? Wow. And so I would pause and I would once again bow my head and I would once again say, Lord God, I praise you that you do not deal with me according to my sin. Because if you did, I couldn't stand. I would be a goner. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Oh, goodness. If God were to take just action against us and give us what we have reaped, my goodness. My goodness, we'd be repaid all of our lives in a very bad way. But see, grace absorbs that. Okay? God is not repaying us according to our iniquities, because Jesus paid for our sins. Jesus paid it all. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Terry, how high is that? Way on up there, he said. You ever just think about that? It's put in Scripture this way to stretch the limits of our understanding. It is okay, let me say this. It is okay for you to read the Bible and be in awe of what God is saying. And it's okay for you to go, you know, I don't understand, but that really sounds like an awesome amount, right? I can't measure that, right? We have pilots in here who have flown close to the heavens. I don't know if we have an astronaut in here, but, you know, I mean, just how high is that? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. When I say it's unending, when I say it is enduring, that's what I'm talking about. You can't wrap your mind around that, and that's a good thing. Right? That's a good thing. That's where awe comes in our worship of God. And then the next, that's even more baffling. Explain this one. As far as the east is from the west, where does east stop and west begin? Where does west begin and east stop? It's unending. Oh, isn't that beautiful when you apply it to this? So far, does he remove our transgressions from us? That barrier of separation removed our transgressions, removed from us. That's beautifully and gloriously written. Thank you, as far as the east is from the west. Anybody singing the Casting Crown song on that one? It's a great song. As a father, verse 13, shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. The wonderful, compassionate love, steadfast love, that God shows compassion to those who fear him. God has been compassionate toward us, gracious toward us. And we spend time praising him for his compassions that fail not. Great is his faithfulness. So the Lord is showing compassion to those who fear him, to those who reverence him, to those who forget not his benefits, back to verse 2, to those who bless his holy name. A father shows compassion as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. Y'all ready for a reality check? He remembers that we are dust. Dirt. Right? Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. For he knows our frame. What he's saying there is that he knows that our lives are, as James says, but a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. And so we have these lives that are fragile, these lives that are frail, these lives that are transitory. And so God's compassion is his recognition of that. God is showing compassion to us. He realizes our human frailty. He realizes our human limitations, the effects of sin's curse on us. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it, and it is gone. Whew. That's what he's talking about. Whew. It's gone. That's life compared to God, compared to eternity, right? It's so short. It's like the grass that is there today and gone tomorrow, like a flower that's there today and gone tomorrow. All of these things wither. All of these things fall apart. But what's eternal? Verse 17, what's eternal? What should you be investing your life in? The steadfast love of the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord can be passed on from generation to generation. the steadfast love of the Lord. That steadfast love is that covenant love, that promise-keeping love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. What does that mean? It's unending. It's eternal. From eternity past to eternity future, from everlasting to everlasting, the steadfast love of the Lord is on those who fear Him and His righteousness to children's children. So we shouldn't be focusing on the things that are transitory and that are passing. We should be focusing on the things that are eternal. The souls of men and women and boys and girls are eternal. So that's what our focus as a church has to be on. Lost souls who've not been experienced with the steadfast love of the Lord. So His righteousness to the children's children is generational, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. And there He's talking about Mosaic covenant, where there is obligations to fulfill. God says, I will be this to you if you will be a covenant-keeping, commandment-keeping people. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. It's good to have that trajectory in our sight as we work and as we serve and as we pray. Look towards heaven. That's where the Lord has established His throne. That's where His kingdom rules over all. And what did Jesus tell us to pray about the kingdom? Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So bless the Lord. What's left to do after the richness of God's character and glory is displayed like that in the psalm? The answer is sing, praise, bless. Use that which God is doing within you to express. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Remember, an angel is a messenger. And a messenger is delivering the word, obeying the voice of the word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a beautiful song. Father, thank You for the word that sustains us. In a dry and weary land, we need this word. We need You to work Your grace and Your mercy and Your righteousness in us, doing within us what we can't do for ourselves. It has to be a work of Your Spirit. For You to break us, for You to humble us, for You to cause us to be in awe. God, that's Your work. There's no formula. There's no book. There's no special song. But it comes. It comes when through our surrender to You, You show us such grace, such compassion, such loving kindness, such mercy, that we are overwhelmed to respond to You in praise and adoration. Father, I've said it many times, if all we had was the cross of Jesus Christ, that would be enough to praise You for eternity. And Father, in Him we have so much more. So Lord, help us to slow down. Help us to be still, as the psalmist says, and know that You are God. Help us, Lord, to bless You to bless your name, to go out and to let somebody know what the Lord has done for you. Bless us to be blessings to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.